On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But the Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told, go and do likewise. The story of the Good Samaritan who helped a man who fell among robbers is very well known. But surprisingly, there are not that many who knows its true meaning. There were many misunderstandings about this story starting from the past. In interpreting the Bible, there is a method known as allegorical interpretation. It is a method of spiritual interpretation by which the Bible is interpreted using one's discretion through an allegory. In chapter 13 of Matthew, there is a parable of the sower, which testifies that a seed sown on the good soil will produce a crop 30, 60, 100 times. It probably means that if the word is taken to the heart in the right way, there will be that much more fruits. But during the Middle Ages, in particular, a lot of efforts were made to figure out what the 30, 60, 100 times signified. The most popular interpretation went like this. The 30 times meant a husband who took good care of his family, or a wife who was obedient to her husband and yet were devoted to service. 60 times meant a monk or priest who had made a vow of chastity, and 100 times meant the martyr who gave up their lives for Christ. This was the teaching of such interpretation. I am not sure whether Jesus intended even 1% of such meaning when he spoke the parable. And it is true that it is a very precious thing to make a vow of chastity for God in devotion. But I am also not sure whether that is more difficult or devoting oneself to the kingdom of God while making a family that God would want. This is the example of allegorical interpretation of the Bible. Today's passage appears as the most representative example of an allegorical interpretation. Because Jerusalem meant fortress of peace, people thought that Jerusalem pointed to the place governed by God. Jericho was interpreted as a fortress of the moon. Because the size of the moon looks different each day, it was thought that Jericho signified the world destined for destruction. And by going down, it was a thought that since the direction was from the place governed by God to the world, it meant becoming corrupted. And the robbers, without any doubt, signified Satan. Being half dead was thought to mean the state of being conquered by sin, and priest and Levite were thought to be the Jewish faith and the secular religion. They cannot save man, and the Good Samaritan was thought to signify Jesus. Additionally, the oil and the wine were thought to mean the Holy Spirit and hope, and donkey, the physical body of Jesus. Also, the inn was thought to mean the church and the owner of the inn, the clerics of the church. The two denarii given by the Samaritan when leaving were said to be the Old Testament and the New Testament, or what thought to be the promises for the present life and the next life. And the next day was thought to signify the morning of resurrection. And the time of return was thought to be the second coming. This is an interesting interpretation, but it is definitely not the case that Jesus had said the story in order to tell us these meanings. When Jesus finished telling the story, he asked, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" and said, "Go and do likewise." If this story is interpreted allegorically, there is no way to respond to what Jesus has said. But there is a misunderstanding on our part regarding this parable. We commonly call it the parable of a good Samaritan. But when Jesus was telling the story, he did not say it was a parable. Perhaps Jesus may have been talking about an example of a Samaritan who actually did these things at this time. Also, it is true that the action of the Samaritan in this story is very moving, but the Bible does not call him a good man. Since we are so used to this parable, when we hear Samaritan, we automatically picture a good Samaritan. But to the people who were living at that time, the word good could never be put in front of a Samaritan. The adjective that people added to the word Samaritan at the time was dead. Jewish people publicly cursed Samaritans in synagogues. And prayed every day that God would not let Samaritans enter eternal life. Most rabbis taught even beggars that they should not receive charity from Samaritans because it was thought that the monies given by them were also unclean. The biggest misunderstanding and error that we have about today's passage is to conclude, upon hearing the story of the Samaritan, that we should become a good Samaritan or live a charitable life without thinking about the preceding and following passages. There are many organizations that have the name Good Samaritan. Among them, there are those who support missionaries or caring for the elderly without a family member. Among the names of hospitals that help the poor, there is a Good Samaritan. There is even a foreign organization named Les Nouveaux Samaritans, which looks after animals who are in difficulty, heals injured or sick animals, and returns them to their original homes. It is a good thing that we help others after the example of the life of a Samaritan. But Jesus had not told the story only to give us the lesson that we should live a life in which we help people in difficulty. An expert in the law asked Jesus this question in order to test him, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life. He had a misconception about eternal life. He thought that the eternal life was given as a result of keeping the law or some good acts. If his question is translated more accurately, it would be like this: Teacher, what things must I do in order to inherit the eternal life? Doing something and inheriting are different issues. If I go to the poorest country and devote my entire life to the people who live there, would I be able to inherit the property of Bill Gates? It is possible for Bill Gates to make donations to people who do works like Mother Teresa, but he will not give inheritance. If he were to give inheritance, it would have to be his children, no matter what awful lives they may be leading. So what is important to inheritance is not what works were done, but whose children are you. The heaven is a place where God rules. Only the children of God enters heaven, not people who have done good works. Although this is the case, this person wrongly thinks that actions are the basis of obtaining eternal life. The Lord does not say whether he is right or wrong, but answers him by asking me another question. Verse 26 testifies as follows: What is written in the law? He replied, How do you read it? In Jewish law, there were altogether 613 provisions. There were 248 of positive commandments in the nature of do this, and there were 365 of negative commandments in the nature of do not do this. And since there were many detailed corollaries to carrying out these laws, the actual laws were so numerous that they were beyond counting. It is not easy to extract the most essential law from them. Notwithstanding such difficulty, the expert of the law said the precise essence of the law in answering the Lord's question. Verse 27 testifies as follows. He answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. If we were to ring the Bible the way we do the do to laundry and summarize it in one word, it would be words of this verse 27. The words of this verse is the basis on which we may live life befitting children of God. The Lord who acknowledged that the answer of the expert of the law was correct said, Go and do likewise. The expert of the law, who was caught off guard at that moment, asked, Who is my neighbor? In order to turn the table. In this reply, Jesus answered with the story of a Samaritan who helped a man robbed by burglars. Verse 30 testifies as follows. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, went away, leaving him half dead. A man ran into robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. The city of Jerusalem was built on a 762-meter-high plateau and Jericho on 260-meter-high, located 30 kilometers northeast of Jerusalem. It means, therefore, Jerusalem and Jericho have 1,022-meter difference in height. For this reason, the road linking the two cities were steep and winding. Also, the narrow valleys were geographically ideal for robbers to attack passerby from ambush. So the road from Jericho to Jerusalem was said to be the bloody way or the red way. Up until AD 150, travelers were required to pay tolls to the chief of a local tribe not to be attacked by its nomad Bedouin. It was not revealed clearly why the men took the risk of a dangerous travel alone and on what urgent matters. Then he ran into robbers there. They took all what he had from him, including the clothes he was wearing. At that time, only a handful of people were able to have extra clothes to wear. So the robbers stripped him off and ran away, for they could sell the clothes for money. Moreover, the man was beaten so severely that he was like a half-dead. At that moment, a man happened to pass by. Verse 31 testifies like this. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Then a priest happened to pass by the same road. The word happen means something takes place simultaneously. It seems to us as if God sent the priest to help the robbed man. In our daily life, we frequently use the word like this. Although it seems like a meaningless happening to us, however, it is in many cases done by God's mysterious work. The priest was supposed to help the robbed man. He knew how serious the situation was and what he should do for that. Nevertheless, he just passed by on the other side. At that time, if priest touched dead body, he was regarded unclean for a week. And on the third and seventh day, a ceremony to purify him should be conducted. If the man brought by him was found dead, it would cause so many troubles to handle. That's why the priest passed by probably. There was one more important reason for the priest to pass by. At that time, the number of priests was extremely high in proportion to the number of people. The population in the Palestine region was about 500,000 to 600,000, while the number of priests 18,000. They were composed of 24 ranks, of which around 750 priests belonged to each rank. And each rank worked for service 2 weeks a year. For the service in a week, they need 30 priests devoted only to the worship service. Rest of them cleaned the temple and worked at the temple gate, opening and closing the door. For the selection of priests to work for the worship service, they cast lots. Once selected by the lot, there was almost no possibility for the second selection, and it was told that there were a number of priests who was not taken during their entire life. If the priest in the text was in charge of the service, he must have passed by in order not to miss his lifetime worship service. Later, another man passed by. Verse 32 testifies as follows. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. A Levite happened to pass by, and he was more serious than the priest. He came close to the man to see and then passed by on the other side. How could he act like that when he saw a man almost dying? We can think like that, but it's just our thought only. But in our daily life, we also act like the Levite in many cases. And after that, a traveler went by. Verse 33 testifies like this. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. The third man was a Samaritan. Upon hearing the verse 33, none of us is surprised at all. Even if we saw the scene for the first time, it would probably be the same. But the Jews, if they heard the story at the time, would be surprised mostly and then frowned at it. Jews and Samaritans were hostile to each other for 450 years. After the death of King Solomon, Israel was divided into the north and the south. In the south was Jude and north Israel. Jerusalem was the capital city of south and Samaria of north. So they called the northern people Samaritans. In B.C. 722, Israel in the north was destroyed by Assyria, and a great number of Samaritans were taken to Assyria. Instead, people of Assyria were immigrated to Samaria. With the time elapsed, remaining people got married to foreign immigrants. People in the south were opposed to the marriage since they regarded the marriage with foreign blood lost of their national purity. 136 years after the collapse of the north, the south also was destroyed by Babylonia in B.C. 586. But the Jews in the south were able to keep their national identity and religion even they were in Babylonia. After 70 years long period of captivity, they returned to their homeland under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah in B.C. 440 and started to reconstruct the city of Jerusalem and the temple. At that time, the northern Samaritans offered to help them. But the southern people felt insulted seriously about the offer. The reason for that was the north lost the right of Jewish due to their marriage with foreigners. As they rejected the proposal, the Samaritans felt resentment badly too. Samaritans built separately their own temple on Mount Gerizim and accepted five books of Moses only as the Bible. This had continued to the time of Jesus. For this reason, Jews could not stand to speak even the word Samaria. At the end of this conversation, Jesus asked the teacher of the law, "Who do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." He hated to speak the word Samaritan so badly that he answered, "The one who had mercy on him," instead. Like this, the Jews and Samaritans were hostile to that degree. While hearing the story of Jesus, people can imagine the third man who will follow, a priest and a Levite who will be a debut to Jews, or so at least. But instead, Jesus introduced a Samaritan. The Samaritan was testified that he had mercy on the man. The verb to have mercy has come from the Greek word splanchnizomai, which means to cut the bowel. In Korea's old popular song, there is a song, 단장의 미아리 고개. Here, 단장 means cutting a bowel. So it means the story in Miari Hill was so sad and painful that it seemed like cutting the bowel. The Samaritan who had mercy on the man acted as was testified in verse 34 and 35. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Travelers at that time carried with them some oil and wine to drink, and sometimes they used them for medical purposes too. The Samaritans not only helped the person right on the spot who fell into the hands of robbers and became half dead, but also took him to the inn, unlike the priest and the Levite. And when he left the inn, he gave 2 denarii to the innkeeper and even said to reimburse for any extra expense when he returned. At that time, a denarii was worth for a grown man's wage. So 2 denarii is the wage for 2 days. In our currency, the value of this will be around 100,000 won to 200,000 won. According to historian Polybius, the expense for a night at Wit Inn at that time was 132 of a denarii. Therefore, the money that this Samaritan gave to the innkeeper was the great amount which was equal to the expense for 2 months at inn. After finishing the story, the Lord asked the law expert, the verse 36 testifies as follows. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The law expert asked the Lord at first, "Who is my neighbor?" Without a doubt, the law expert might usually identify himself with the priest or the Levite. But the Lord taught him that he was like the man who fell into the hands of the robber. The teaching of the Lord is this. Even though Jewish and the Samaritan didn't get along like enemies, the Samaritan became a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers, regardless of races. Like the Samaritans, you should also live a life of accepting Samaria people as your own neighbor. Because this is a natural life that man who earns an eternal life ought to live. Of course, it is not easy. If the man who fell into the hands of a robber was a Jew, how did it feel being helped by the Samaritan? Was he pleased? He cannot say for sure. If you are going through a problem and a person who you think as enemy can solve the problem, would you be able to go to him and ask for help? You might be thinking, I would rather die than to bow down to my enemy. To us, the Samaritan-like neighbors comes in such an unexpected way. 10 years ago, I delivered the word at the summer workshop of middle school students at a church where my friend, a pastor, ministered. The workshop place was in the island called Wenadoro, connected by a bridge from Gohung. It took me 10 hours for a drive. The workshop place was located at the end of the island, which was exactly 20 kilometers away from the bridge. There were villages here and there, and I passed through narrow small roads. I finished 2 times of night gatherings and left the workshop slightly before 4 o'clock a.m. next day. Because I had to visit the workshop of my church students started from that day. But the surroundings was in the complete darkness, and due to fog, I couldn't find the way at all. I left the workshop place thinking that if I could get to the bridge, everything would be fine. But I couldn't find a way out to the bridge. There was no pass-by. Wandering around, I met a resident in a village, asked the direction and followed it. But the bridge was never seen. In another village, I asked another man about the direction, which only failed me to find the bridge. I kept wandering like that and saw a person coming towards me. It was a lady that I watched in a close distance. I thought to myself, women don't know direction well. But I was not in the position to be picky. I stopped the car and approached her. But then I saw her closely and found her holding a thermos in her hand. I smelled strong makeup. She looked like a lady who worked at the tea house. I asked her the direction. She gave me exact direction, and finally I could find the bridge well. On that day, when I did not know where to go, wandering in the island and could not do anything about the problem, the Samaritan neighbor who came to me was not the pastor who was on the way to a down prayer, nor a holy Christian. My Samaritan neighbor was a Samaritan lady who was delivering tea at the down and whom I would not certainly get near to if I saw her in the daylight. We have another different Samaritan. As the road from Jerusalem to Jericho is narrow and rough, the road of our life was narrow and rough too. On the road, we meet sometimes robbers such as failures, bankruptcy, diseases, broken relationships, loneliness, anger, despair, and so on. These robbers leave us when we become almost half dead. So many people just pass by even though they know our circumstances. Some of them pass by, clicking their tongue. When all people pass us by, there is a Samaritan who comes to us. The man was the one that we disliked at first. The man was appointed by other people too. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. When we had no choice but to live a broken life like the man who fell into the hands of robbers, the Lord reached out his hand to us. When we thought we could do something on our own, we just passed by him. But after we fell into a desperate situation, we found ourselves in despair that we could not do anything with our own strength and finally committed ourselves to His touch. Thereafter, we came to know truly how great His love was and how great the price that He paid for us. I wish all of us the year 2010 of accompanying those who were sent to us for care through accompanying the Lord who became our eternal Samaritan. Let us pray. Our Lord who came to us as an eternal Samaritan, Thank you for teaching us that we are the person who fall into the hands of robbers. When we think ourselves as the people like distinguished law expert, priest, and Levite. Thank you so much for coming to us, reaching out your hand, holding our hands when we cannot but be in despair and hopeless. You, the creator of heaven and the earth, became the lowest to the point of laying down on the manger. You, the man of the eternal truth, were despised by your creatures in spite of telling the truth. And you save our lives from death by paying the price for us, being ridiculed and insulted, and even carrying the cross. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. From this moment on, please lead our way to the life where we don't just pass you by, who reach out your hands until the day we die and share all the moments of our joy and sorrow with the people that you give us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.